Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. And this is Paul writing. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, we thank you for your word, first and foremost. We thank you that it's true. Thank you that we can trust it. And Father, these are some difficult instructions here today, mostly because of our flesh. Father, I pray that Jesus Christ would be exalted. Father, that your Holy Spirit would speak to each of us as you have spoken to me this week about this text. Father, we thank you for the abundant forgiveness that we have in Christ and at the cross. And Father, help us and be reminded of the fact that our salvation hinges on the cross and the resurrection. Because on the cross, he was taking on my sin and our sin. And buried, he paid for it. Rising from the dead, he gained victory over it. Father, we know that we live because he lives, and so we want to be reminded of that this morning. Father, my prayer today is that you would preach through me a message that would be your words and your very heart. Father, that you would take what is in your heart and through the power and the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit, that you would put it into our hearts today. And Father, help us to take this difficult text and to wrestle with it. And Father, that we would go out into the world with a different attitude and a different mind and a different heart. Again, Father, we thank you for our blessings. We thank you for forgiving us and nailing it all to the cross, that we may be totally forgiven. Help us live in light of that truth. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We started this chapter, if you want to say, in the book of Romans with this. And in the series, Love in Action, this is what we started with. Let love be genuine. And what the Apostle Paul has been doing here has been giving us images of what it means to have genuine love. This is pretty easy to do. Let love be genuine. Love one another with brotherly love. That's pretty simple. We love those that love us. That's easy to do. Do not be slothful. Work for the Lord. We can do all that. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those and do not curse. That's the first telltale sign of where Paul's going with this. And then he says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. That's pretty easy. And then the Apostle Paul begins to drill down deeper into the meaning of love. The surface love is loving one another, and this is within the body of Christ, and to serve him and to do all those things. But now the Apostle Paul is drilling a little deeper into the core of love. Because when you read this text and when you look at this text, the first thing that pops out of your mind, or at least for me when I read it, was, you know, I was the enemy of God, and Christ went to the cross for me. And so here is what God did to demonstrate his love even for me when I was far from him. So I want you to think about Paul drilling down, and now he's going to get to the essence of love, what it means when love hits the road, when love is tested to its limits. And we're going to look at, first of all, don't even the score. This is so hard to do. This is so hard to do sometimes. I understand that. Notice what he says. Repay no one evil for evil. Let's unpack that just for a minute. To repay means to recompense, but it also carries the idea of rewarding, as if you would give somebody money for something. you would reward them. So he's saying here, do not reward evil. That word there means to harm, to hurt, sometimes physically, emotionally, spiritually. All those realms come into play. So you do not pay or reward evil by doing evil. You don't pay back somebody when they do something wrong to you. And I get it. I understand this. The natural tendency for us is when we get hurt by somebody, isn't it right? The first thing we want to do is strike back. And he makes it very clear. Repay no one, strong in the Greek, anybody, whether it's an unbeliever, whether it's a believer. And I have seen this happen in the church, folks, where people, you wouldn't even recognize that they were believers and they're doing this stuff right in the church. In 25 years of pastoral ministry, I've seen plenty. And he says here that we are to reward, don't pay, don't reward evil with evil. Stay away from that. I like Robert Mount's quote here. The natural impulse is to return injury for injury. But retaliation for personal injury is not for those who claim to follow the one who told his disciples to turn the other cheek and go the second mile. There's also within this phrase the idea of calculation. The idea of calculation, that is, you hurt me, I'm going to let this sit for a while, and I'm going to calculate how I can get back at this person. That's why Paul says this next phrase, but give thought. Here we go. But give thought. To think, and this word thought means to think about something beforehand. It means to think about something before you do it. So with this idea of repaying no one evil for evil, but give thought, think about ahead of time, before you even take action, think about doing what is honorable in the sight of all. Honorable meaning praiseworthy. Would you all agree with me that the goal of the Christian life is to do those things which bring praise and honor to God? I think all of us clear across the board would agree that. So when we do our calculations, let's spin it a little differently. Let's put it into a different realm. Instead of calculating how we're going to get back at that person, and I've seen some pretty devious ways of how people try to get back at other people, and it's horrible. Think about, calculate this way. Calculate how you can do what is honorable, what brings praise and glory to Christ. Not what brings satisfaction to the flesh. The Greek word sarx, that which is natural, that which is ungodly. Don't focus on the flesh, focus on the Father. Take the challenge here. But give thought to do what is right and honorable in the sight of all. When we're outside this church and we're in our places, social places or workplace, or just at the mall, or anywhere. When we claim the name of Jesus Christ, we are showcasing Jesus. And if we get around unbelievers, and they don't see any difference between how they live and how we live, what does that do to the name of Christ? I think it hurts it. Here's something to think about. We never know what the other person's going through. Sometimes people do things and say things because they're hurting or they're going through difficult situations, and sometimes they're just doing it to be difficult. I understand that. But we also need to keep in mind that we represent Jesus Christ, that we represent the Father. Now, the challenge he gives us in verse 18 is also pretty difficult, I think. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. This word possible means to control a situation. So if we think about the possibility of controlling a situation or not controlling a situation so far as it depends on you, the logical outcome of what he just said, not repaying evil for evil, but thinking it doing what is honorable in God's eyes and in the sight of all, and in essence being a good witness, the logical conclusion would be that you control the environment in which you respond. If possible, if there's any way that you can possibly control the situation, then you're to try to work towards peace. You're try to be peaceful with others. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Jesus just didn't say that as a part of the Beatitudes and just to go on. Jesus said it, he meant it. Our role as believers is to seek peace. That is, we try to get along with people. And I realize, too, that there's sometimes that we cannot get along with people. I realize that there's some people, they want to fight from sun up to sundown. They want to fight at every turn. They want to try to do the best they can to cause division. But the believer now, the believer, it doesn't mean we can't get into a spirited debate. But we need to avoid destructive, argumentative language, hurtful language. We don't need to seek to divide people. We don't need to fight and to argue with malicious intent. This is what I think we need to do in this challenge, to, as it relates to the peace, how we can do it. Just sit down and talk to the person. Sometimes just talking to them. And obviously at that point you can determine whether you get at least a feel, and then listen to the person. While you say what you got to say, then you listen to what they're saying, and then you weigh whether this is something that you can work through or not. Now, I'm going to say this, and it's not in the text, but I think it's right because of Paul and Barnabas and their situation that they got into. There are going to be people that their whole life is going to be spent trying to argue with you at all cost. And let me just say this as your pastor. I think there's some people we do not need to be around. I think if it's just to the point where you cannot get along, then like Paul said to Barnabas, you go your way, God bless you, and they went their separate ways. I think that there could come a point when you've tried as much as possible to live at peace with people and you cannot do it, and not on your end, you're willing to work, but on the other person's end, I think it's better that you don't hang around that person. And that you go on, and you could ultimately ruin your witness even more in their eyes. And sometimes, no matter what you do, they're going to try to ruin your Christian witness to others. I think when he says here, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live it peacefully with all. I don't think that's just saying go ahead and stay in a situation where you're constantly bombarded. I think there may come a time, and that's between you and God, when you can simply say, you know what, to keep the peace, I'm going to walk. And, you know, God bless you. Don't, you know, again, don't repay evil for evil, but think about things through. And it's a tough thing. It is a tough thing. I put here, walk away, stay away. Just walk away, stay away. Sometimes it's better just to in order to keep the peace. And, you know, inevitably people like that, they're going to find something else and somebody else to cause more and more and more problems. They gravitate that way. And you can pray for them. Pray that God will change their heart and change their mind. Secondly, let God discipline. Let's not even the score. Let's take that totally off our agenda for our Christian life. And let God discipline them. Now notice what he talks here about in verse 19a, which is revenge. Beloved. And he's reminding them how much they are loved. Paul's writing to them, says, look, I want you to know that I love you, but never avenge yourself. Again, this avenge speaks of planning to harm with malicious intent, and it also speaks of the idea of strategically working things to where you're going to get back at that person. Have you all ever done that? I see some of you chuckling. That means you probably have. You probably lay in bed at night thinking about ways you're going to get the person back, and boy, that'll really get them. And, you know, you go through this whole scenario, and that's not right. Just putting it simple, it's not. Several of you laughing. That's good. This is touching. That's good. We don't do those things. Never avenge yourself. That means take that completely off the table. Do not calculate and plan ways of how you can hurt people. That's not Christian. Defratus, this pitcher for Philadelphia, J.J. Hardy, had a 4-for-4 game. I just recently watched this. And by the way, when this pitcher came out onto the field, he had one thought in his mind. I'm going to plunk him. Because Hardy was 4-for-4 that day. And by the way, this was the first pitch of the at-bat. It was the first pitch. And I watched the video clip. And the umpire, immediately when that ball struck Hardy, the umpire looked and he went like this. And he ejected the pitcher. And you know what the pitcher did? He didn't even argue. He knew. He knew when he went out to that mound, he knew he was going to drill him. He had calculated it. He had planned it out before he even got it, whether the coach told him to do it, whatever. Only because this guy was doing well that day. And the pitcher decides he wants to. That's the kind of calculation that I'm talking about. It's specifically calculating that you're going to hurt somebody and you're going to do it to avenge yourself. Or in this case, avenge a team. That's crazy. This is what we're about. Isn't this what we're about? Aren't we about healing? Aren't we about loving people? Aren't we about ministering to those who are hurt? Because really that's what God did to us. He took us, we were enemies, we were broken, hurt, and God fixed us and redeemed us and changed us. And so that's what our ministry needs to be about. It's not about seeking revenge. I once heard a pastor say, and I don't know if it's exactly true because I haven't really tested his premise, but it sounds right. He said almost every movie that is made in Hollywood is about getting something back. It's about some form of revenge or redeeming oneself, which I found interesting. There's always that plot to the movie because it's inundated in the culture in which we live, that we either revenge, we seek revenge, we seek to get back. That's not our culture. Our culture is one of resistance and one of love and one of patience and one of peace and kindness and doing those things which are pleasing to God. Here's what we need to do. We need those that give us hard times. We need to leave room for God's vengeance. Notice what he says, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, and he reads here Deuteronomy 32, 35. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Leave it, the word means to give opportunity. In other words, instead of taking the opportunity to plan to hurt, why don't we just step back from the situation, think it through, do what's pleasing in the eyes of God, and just leave God the opportunity to deal with the person. I have seen this so many times. So many times where God will pay back the person for what they have done to you. When we take vengeance, we're being the judge. And God is the one that is the judge. He is the ultimate judge. And I realize that sometimes people get hurt, and I've seen this in court too, where somebody just killed a spouse, and the Christian spouse will get up there and say, "You know what? I forgive you. I'm, you know, justice has to be served, but I love you and I forgive you." God's vengeance. God will have vengeance. The other thing I want to say is here, sometimes it seems like God doesn't respond. Somebody's giving us a hard time, and we ask the question, where is God? God, when are you going to act? When are you going to do something? It may take a long time for God to act, but I'm going to tell you something. God will respond to those who get hurt by others. It will happen, and you may think, and I'm speaking from somebody from experience too. I'm speaking from a place of experience, from my own life, that sometimes you may not get to see God's revenge in this life. It may not come till the next life. And our job as believers is to do what we can to represent Christ in this world and to not take vengeance and to not strike back and to withhold that. So lastly, you do what is right. That's us. We do what is right. Notice what he says about our enemies. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, I think Paul has in mind here Proverbs 25, 21, and 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. That is, you minister to them even though they have hurt you. You minister to them even though they have offended you and have sought to hurt you physically, spiritually, emotionally. And when they come at you, then you watch for times when you can minister to them. That's hard to do. I understand that. But he calls us to do that. Now the question is, what about this heaping coals of fire on his head? I did some research on that. And in the Old Testament, that always refers to God's judgment. So when you are ministering to your enemy and you are giving them something and helping them and loving them, the goal of that is for them to repent and then to turn back and say, "You know what? I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry." If they do not repent, what he's saying here in this text, I believe, is that you are just adding fuel to the fire of God's judgment. Because I tell you what, if you got coals on your head and they're hot, you're going to jump out of the way, right? You're going to back off. That should jar you to think, wait a minute, they're being nice to me. It should lead them to repentance, but if it doesn't, they're just adding God's judgment on top of them. Now, here's what you don't want to do, and one scholar brought it up, and I'm glad he did, because I was thinking it all along. This doesn't count if you do it this way. I'm going to be nice because I know they won't repent, and God's really going to get them. I'm just going to be as nice as I can. Because see, that's masked. That's masked too. That's not true love. That's with an angle. That's coming at it and saying, I'm going to do this. I still don't like you, but I'm going to minister to you and I'm going to love you just so I know you're never going to repent. You're never going to turn back and God's really going to get you. Mm-mm. That's not how that works. Douglas Moo brought that up in his commentary, and I loved it. Because that's a wrong motive. Our motive is to do things out of what? A pure heart, a loving heart, a clean heart. You could even pray what David prayed. Lord, please give me a clean heart. Wipe the slate clean when I deal with this person. And it can be wrong. even though you are fulfilling Scripture. Can never do stuff with the wrong motives. You know what I've told this congregation for 7 years, and I'll stick to it. Question why you are doing what you are doing. You'll get to the truth of the matter in a heartbeat. You'll get to the motives of why you're doing what you're doing. Now, lastly, he talks about our action. So we have covered not even evening the score, that we're going to leave that to God. And on our end, we're going to do things which are pleasing to him, which honor him. We're going to love our enemy. We are going to do good to them. We are not going to strike back like the world strikes back. We are going to walk away if peace is not possible. We're going to pull back, and we're just going to represent Jesus Christ here. We're going to help people see Christ through the situation that we're in. And then he says this in closing. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, when evil comes, the best course of action is to do good, and this means in any situation or circumstance.